This is Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Ira Flatow. A bit later in the hour, revamping the nation's aging electric grid. But first...
家具屋は月の裏側を北極の上空へと進んでいきます。
Unless your Japanese is a bit rusty, what this announcer is saying is that the Japanese lunar orbiter, Kaguya, is gliding towards the North Pole on the far side of the moon, on its way to snapping a photo of Earth rising over the horizon. This is from a video from the Japanese Space Agency, and the Kaguya spacecraft has been capturing lots of great high-definition video on the moon. It's also been collecting data on the moon's topography and gravity, data that will hopefully help scientists understand the origin and the evolution of the moon. My next guest wrote a commentary in the journal Science this week to sum up the recent findings from the Japanese mission. If you want to see more of that video, we have a link on sciencefriday.com. Surf over to there. Also, you can join us tweeting and twittering at SciFry. And also, you can send us an email there. And if you'd rather phone, we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK, if you'd like to talk about what we're talking about, the Japanese space probe. Gregory Newman is a geophysicist at NASA Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Newman.
How do you do, Ira?
I'll bet you most of America has no idea that there even is a Japanese space probe.
Well, they should know that. They should know that it was the first of three space probes launched to the moon last year by the Chinese and the Indians as well, and they're all operating quite happily.
And why is this one in particular taking such spectacular pictures?
Well, it was the first and the largest probe to go to the moon since the Apollo era. It has the nice cameras, the 21st century toys that we would have liked to have had maybe 30 years ago, but they have now put it together. This was supposed to be launched in 2003. They had innumerable delays, but they've certainly gotten it right.
And why are the Japanese doing this?
Well, they have an interest in the fundamental question of the origin of the moon and its evolution. But as well, I think the moon, being our nearest neighbor, is just the most accessible place in which to begin our space exploration, which may take us even further.
Are they thinking possibly of landing astronauts there?
That I can't tell you.
No. Well, let's talk about the findings that were published in Science this week. How much did we learn about the far side of the moon from the Japanese mission?
Well, we got the shape and the gravity and some very nice pictures from optimal illumination of the far side, as well as some near-side radio sounding. The thing about the far side is that in order to see into it, you need gravity, and gravity can only be measured when you can track a spacecraft at low altitude over the far side. This was never possible before the Kaguya mission.
Mm-hmm. And so we're getting a good idea from that.
Yes, we are. And I think it's told us that the far side was stronger than the near side and thus probably cooler at a period of time about 3.8 billion years before present, which is when most of the great basins were formed on the moon.
Now, a lot of people may not realize that because the moon is rotating and it's rotating in such a way in synchrony with the Earth so that the far side is always pointing away from the Earth, right?
Yes, it's rotating with respect to the sun, but it's tidally locked to face the same face towards Earth very nearly throughout the entire month.
Mm-hmm. What was the last time we took good pictures of the far side of the moon?
Pictures have been taken by Clementine and Galileo in the 1990s. The Clementine mapper was a technology experiment put together by the DOD, but it gave us the current set of base maps that we're all using. Mm-hmm. The Kaguya is going to exceed their resolution by a factor of 10, and the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, which we're launching in late April or early May, is going to give us half meter per pixel images of several percent of the moon and give us a synoptic view of the whole moon at, I think, 80 meters per pixel.
If we've got some great probes that are orbiting and rolling around the surface of Mars, why are we still looking at the moon?
Well, the moon is like a time capsule of solar system history. It fills in the gap between the origin of the solar system about 4.6 billion years ago and the oldest rocks on Earth, which are about 3.8 billion years old. This is a period of time that's been completely erased on Earth, and the moon preserves it in more or less pristine shape, a little bit battered. And it's the calendar by which we date other events in the solar system, since we really don't have any way to inquire about their dates other than by looking at the cratering history.
Now, but the moon supposedly broke off from Earth, right, sometime in its past history?
Thought to have been the product of a collision.
Yeah, but and that would have been before life formed on Earth.
Very much so.
Yeah, so we're not going to be able to see any remnants of any fossilized life that might have been there.
Long before any bacteria were known to exist.
Will it tell us something about the origins of the solar system by studying the moon?
Yes, it will, because we don't know what the process really was that brought all the planets together in their current shape and distribution. And we don't know whether this happens the same way in other star systems or whether we're completely unique and we're the only place, not likely the only place, where life could have arisen.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's also, just like we look at looking for signs of water on Mars, people have always been looking for signs of water on the moon, maybe locked up, hidden in some dark places where the sun doesn't shine. Are we still looking for those signs?
That's one of the thrusts of exploration, because it's a heck of a lot easier to get fuel and sustenance out of water ice that's actually in crystalline form than it is by baking it out of dry rocks. There is enough hydrogen on the moon, and there's enough oxygen on the moon to support exploration and colonization and so forth, but the amount of energy to get it out may be 100 or 1,000 times greater than if we can find deposits of ice.
Mm-hmm. As someone who studies the moon, do you think it's true that we've heard this said many times, that we have better maps of the far side of the moon than we do of the ocean floor?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. If you look at Google Mars and you compare it to Google Ocean, you'll see that in most places in the ocean, really the maps aren't that good. Partially because the ocean is covered with water, and it's only through sonar mapping that we can see the ocean bottom with any clarity. And with gravity, we can see the rest of the ocean bottom, but with kind of blurry resolution. And it's the 90 or 95% of the ocean bottom that we don't see that really hurts us. We run into things down there because we don't know that they're there. And if you want a quick shovel-ready mission that will improve our knowledge of that, I can suggest something that just give me a call.
Is it true that you started out life as a marine geophysicist?
That's correct. It takes about 6 weeks to go out and map the ocean floor for a week and a half and then get back to port. And in the process, you cover a teeny tiny area, but a fascinating area. Mm. We dredged up things from the bottom that were alive, at least on the bottom. By the time we got them up, they looked a little strange, but they're unlike anything you've ever seen before.
Yeah, and now you find yourself in a dry, waterless place looking for signs of other things. Maybe what we need is a Google Moon, too, after we get done
with it. I think that's already been snapped up, but within the next year, you're going to see an incredibly detailed set of pictures of all sides of the moon, including the gravity field, which is what I'm most interested in.
All right, Dr. Newman, thank you for taking time to be with us. Good luck to your moon project.
Okay, well, thank you, and good talking to you.
You're welcome. Gregory Newman is a geophysicist at the NASA Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland.